Little ones can be dismissed to go to junior church. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to the book of Ephesians. You know, it's not long. The stores were selling costumes and candy for Halloween. Now that's all gone, and they're already getting ready for Christmas. It all happens so quickly. I remember, wasn't too long ago, you could at least find little cardboard pilgrims in the store. It seems that we're just going to skip Thanksgiving and go from Halloween to Christmas. Does it look that way to you? I think it gets that way almost every year like that. Fact, I remember one of our family members, one of the local stores, said she had to work on Thanksgiving. I thought to myself, when's this going to start, and where is it going to stop? Nobody needs anything at Thanksgiving. You don't need to go out and buy anything. Because if you want to buy something, that means somebody has to skip their family and go into a store. And I thought that was wrong, wrong, wrong. When I heard that, I just shook my head, and I was very disgusted with that. Did you know that the following year, that store filed bankruptcy? That's a fact. It always pays to follow the Lord. I don't care whether you're a merchant or you're an individual. It always pays to follow the Lord. You bless the Lord and He'll bless you. Interesting that that happened. Wouldn't surprise me if they tried to erase that holiday because of its religious connotation. We're trying to erase, it seems, everything else in our society that has to do with religion. Wouldn't surprise me if they try to erase Thanksgiving. It began in 1621 when the first settlers declared a day of Thanksgiving in gratitude for God's bountiful provisions and harvest. During George Washington's first year as president, he recognized the day of Thanksgiving for the nation, and our current Thanksgiving holiday became official in 1863 during President Lincoln's term in office. When we look back at our nation's focus on the gratitude of God, it certainly could be disheartening to see so many distractions of Thanksgiving Day. We have the feasting and the football seems to go together. Maybe perhaps early Christmas shopping. What I heard most this week was not much about Thanksgiving, but I heard a lot about Black Friday. Boy. Are we going to have a great Saturday? We have Black Friday, we might as well have a great Saturday. It's interesting how much emphasis is put on so many things. Distractions. It's easy to lose sight of the purpose for the holiday, to thank God for all of His blessings. Has something happened to our sense of gratitude today? Do you see that to be true in the world? Are people courteous? Do they say thank you? Thank you, you're welcome. You're welcome. I don't say thank you near enough. I need to work on that. Something I just need to work on. We get the children to say, what do you say? What do you say? Thank you. What do you say? Thank you. You're welcome. I think the sin of ingratitude began very early in the human history. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve decided that what God had given them was just not enough. Sound like the world today? Can't get enough. God had provided a perfect environment. I would have loved to have seen the Garden of Eden. I don't know about you, but I'd have loved to have seen it. I've done some studying trying to figure out where the garden would have been geographically. With the rivers that's mentioned in Genesis, it would actually put the Garden of Eden in the northern part of the Persian Gulf, which today is underwater. That would be the vicinity of the Garden of Eden. God made a beautiful garden. He placed in it all manner of fruit and all manner of trees. They could eat of every fruit except two trees. But Adam and Eve weren't satisfied. They wanted more. And when they ate of the forbidden tree, sin entered the world and spread to all mankind. And as we know from Scripture, as through Adam all men die, as in the second Adam, all men live. And any time we're not satisfied with what God has given us, we decide that we want maybe something outside His will. And when we do that, we're expressing ingratitude. Not contentment, but ingratitude. We here today, and we know our Lord and Savior, we've asked Him to come and live in our hearts. And for us, we should be able to find so many reasons to be grateful and to be thankful. And Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7 says we should be overflowing with gratitude. The external blessings that God has given us, He has given us good health, He's given us family. He's given us physical provisions. We talked in our Bible study that God doesn't always give us what we want, but gives us always what we need. And what about those spiritual blessings that come to us because of our relationship with Jesus Christ? I'm going to give you four of them. The first one is our thanksgiving should begin with the realization that God alone is responsible for our salvation. God alone is responsible. So turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Isn't that beautiful? And I see there's a colon, so that means we got to continue. Verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Overflowing with gratitude. The gift, as mentioned, the gift of faith, so we could believe in Him. Believing in Him, allowing godly character to develop in our lives. He's given us the Holy Spirit as a seal. Now there's chapter 1, look at verse 13 is where I'm getting that. In whom ye also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And it's a comma, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So the Holy Spirit is a seal for God's children. The Holy Spirit, we also know, guides us into all truth. Remember the discussion Jesus had with the disciples? He said, I must go. If I do not go, the Holy Spirit will not come. But if I go, the Holy Spirit will come, and he will lead you and guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit empowers us to obey and serve him. And with knowing these truths, we should be filled with gratitude. The second thing I'd like to have your focus today is the privilege of walking with Christ. Today, we can't see or touch him. Someday, can you imagine being able to do that? Can you imagine seeing Jesus ourselves? As the disciples saw him, walked with him, wouldn't that be a great thing? I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus, wondering what he looks like. What does he look like? Precious. I'm anxious to see him. You know, the Lord told the disciples, it's more blessed to believe in him for those who have not seen. The Lord pronounced a special blessing on us because we believe and we didn't see him. That's the special blessing. That's faith. It's faith. We believe by faith he exists. We've not seen him. Have we felt his presence? Yes. Oh, I like want to see him. Can you imagine touching him as Thomas did? Can you imagine? Thomas, Jesus said, here. Thomas said, I won't believe unless I see him. Here, Thomas. He appeared again. This time, Thomas was there. And Jesus knew that. He was there. Thomas, no more doubting. Thrust your fingers into my pierced hands here. And my side. Here. Take your hand, touch my side. This is where the soldier put a spear in my side. Touch it. Feel it. You see, Jesus has all the scars. He has all those scars. When Jesus got his new body, the new body has all the scars. No pain. But he has the scars. Because when he appeared, he had them. He had the scars. Are you listening to me? He appeared with his new body. And he told Thomas to touch the nail prints. So if he had the nail prints, he also has the scars in his forehead from when the crown of thorns was pushed on his head and he was made a mockery of and made fun of. A king should have a crown. And so the soldiers went and put thorns together and placed a crown in his head and pushed it on his head. He has scars in his forehead from that crown. And if you'll pull his cloth away from his back, you'll see scars on his back of the stripes that he took for you and me. Scars on his back. You'll see those. His new body has all that. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 2, I'd like to read that. In verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Rooted, verse 7, and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught. And I like that I underlined that part because that really fits this day. Abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. Abounding with thanksgiving. In the same way that we received him, we received him by faith. The promise of his word will strengthen our faith and guide our steps. And sometimes we don't understand some of life's situations. Wow. Boy, I can think of a lot of situations I didn't understand. I didn't know why it was going on. But we can trust that he will always always, always lead us in the best possible path according to his will. Did you hear me? God's way is always the best way. There's my way and then there's God's way. Well, let me tell you something about my way. My way don't count. But I sure try to get my way. Am I alone? I try to get my way. But you know, pretty soon you should learn that it's not about my way. It's about his way. Let him have his way. Let him have his way. Thirdly, having been rooted, we're now being built up in Christ. Colossians 2 and 7. In Psalms, we can read that like a tree that's planted by the waters, the roots go down deep so that it can stand strong in the storm. You see, our relationship with our Lord is rooted in God's word. And as long as it's rooted in God's word, we can never fail. His word will never fail. We'll fail, but his word never fails. We know we're eternally secure. If you're here today and you know Jesus as your Savior, you've asked him to forgive you of your sins, you've invited him into your heart, he has given you and promised you eternal life. John 3:16, he's promised you eternal life. He doesn't take that away from you. I can tell you that I was raised in a church that it seemed like eternal life was lost as quick as you'd lose a sock in the wash, as Petey would say. That's a fact. And I can tell you, that's not very nice growing up, not ever having any assurance. I'm glad today I don't think on those principles. When Jesus said he promised eternal life, you have eternal life. Now, Brother Roger, you think you're going to sin since you've asked Jesus to come into your life? Yes, you will. Have you asked God to forgive you? Yes, I have. You won't lose eternal life? No. What do you lose? Does anybody know? What can you lose? Rewards. Are you listening to me? You don't lose eternal life, but you can lose rewards. Listen to me. The Bible says this. Some will be saved as a fire. Do you know what that means? Do you know exactly what that means? That means you're going to be saved. You'll make heaven your home, but you won't have any rewards. None. Zip. Gone. None. I don't know where I heard this, but I heard of a man that was dying. He said, get my feet out of the flames. Was I talking to you about that, Scotty? Get my feet away from these flames. Some will be saved that close. What about people who live their life for the devil all their life? They've lived their life for the devil. And on their hospital bed, they accept Jesus as their Savior. You think that hasn't happened? You bet it has happened. How about those in an airplane? They know the airplane in Pennsylvania, that one they have a memorial. I'll guarantee you every person in there got things right. Except those who maybe weren't raised Christian and even knew how to call on God. But I'll tell you, those who didn't know anything about Jesus was talking to him that day. They talked to him. When that plane was going down, they said, Lord, forgive me. I'm so sorry. Were they saved? You betcha. Were they baptized? Were they saved? You betcha. Will they have any rewards? But listen, make heaven your home is a tremendous thing. It's a marvelous thing. I'm not making heaven looking any smaller. I'm going to tell you, Heaven is a wonderful place. The half hasn't been told. The half hasn't been told. Wow, but God's the judge. I've often said we can fruit inspect. We can be fruit inspectors because the Bible says you'll know them by their what? Fruits. So the only thing you can do is be a fruit inspector. God never made you a judge. Because if you want to judge somebody, God's going to judge you. Just remember that. With what judgment ye judge, ye shall also be what? Judged. So whatever you're judging me on, God's going to judge you on the same thing. I don't want to be judged. I don't want to judge anybody here. That's up to the Lord. As long as I've been doing funerals, I always let that up to the Lord. Unless I personally know those people and I know they live for the Lord. My own opinion, I know they're with Jesus. But Jesus is the ultimate judge. He's the ultimate judge. I read somewhere where the preacher was talking so much about this fella. The guy said to the other one that was sent behind him, "Who's he talking about? I don't know that man." So live for the Lord while you're living, so the preacher don't need to lie about you when you're dead. Huh? That's about what I'm out to. Does that make any sense to you? Each time we come to his word, we learn more truths that builds our faith and transforms us into the image of Christ. And I hope that over time, that we'll recognize our growth and give us a reason to be thankful. Thank the Lord, I'm not what I used to be. Perhaps I'm not what I should be, but I'm certainly not what I used to be. And with God's help, I'll be what God wants me to be. So fourthly, we're being established in our faith. Just as in verse 7 we were instructed. The scripture instructs us in the truth. The reason for that is so that we won't be swayed by every wind of doctrine, so that we won't be deceived by false religions, by false philosophies, by false ideas. As long as we are actively reading God's word, we can have confidence in his protection. As long as we continue to read his word and listen to good biblical sound teaching. So there's a few benefits of the many that are ours in Christ. There's many benefits, and we should take advantage of them. And if we do, we'll find ourselves overflowing with thanks. A grateful heart, listen to this, this is good, is an expression of his indwelling presence. A grateful heart is an expression of his indwelling presence. We can even evaluate our relationship with the Lord by our degree of gratitude. Isn't that good? If we're thankful, we won't be complaining about our circumstances because we're focused on him. We'll have a humble spirit because we know that the Lord is the source of every good thing that happens in our lives. Thankfulness is a choice that we can make every day. And if it lacks, we need to decide that we can make a change. We can start recognizing and acknowledging God's wonderful blessings. Ask him to give you a grateful heart. Ask him, and he'll begin to transform your life. And you can live with Christ and his characteristics will begin to flow through you. And those around you will be able to see the goodness, the love, the kindness, and the generosity that is flowing through you because you're overflowing with gratitude, because you're reading God's word and you're allowing him to work in your life. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Every head bowed. I want to pray. Lord, we pray that during this time, we'll set aside time to give thanks to you this week. During this week, Lord, not just this week, but all the year through, but especially so this week. Remember, as we remember, Lord, all your blessings throughout the year. Lord, allow us to delight in your spiritual benefits that you have for us. Lord, we pray, work in us and through us. Allow your Holy Spirit to lead and direct and guide our lives, that we'll be able to obey and follow you, that we may be encouraged in knowing that you have walked with us through every circumstance, and you have sustained us with your loving care. And I pray that all those that we'll be in contact with or will be around us will know of a certainty that you are dwelling in our presence. And you are living in our hearts because of the beautiful characters that you see in our lives. The love and the goodness and the kindness and the generosity that is flowing from us. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen and amen.